If I could, many of you all, you're going to find yourself right here in this position. Maybe you already have, opening gifts and exchanging gifts, and maybe you're going to do what I'm about to do. I need a lighter. Somebody got a lighter? Y'all don't, you know, wash yourselves very well, so you got to light candles in the house, and that way people can come over. But you're going to find yourself in this very position of preparing your home and preparing your heart for family and friends to come and exchanging gifts. And there you are. And right here, seated in a room full of friends, family, and there you are. In 5 minutes, let's just picture this for just a minute. Nothing that I'm going to say here that you've already done or that you're going to do tomorrow or Tuesday morning when you wake up. None of that's bad. It's all beautiful. Family and friends are beautiful. Some of them are beautiful. And there they are. And you exchange gifts. Let's just think about it and let's just talk about it for just a minute, because usually within about 5 minutes of exchanging gifts, there's a crazy great aunt or great grandmother screaming around the room to save the wrapping paper, save the tissue, I'm going to iron it for next year, and it's like 99 cents a pack, but I need that stuff, right? Anybody do that? We got a few in here. Well, if you're like most normal families, within about 15 minutes, you have trash bags filled with wrapping paper as they're making their way to the dumpster, the burn pile, or the trash. 15 minutes. Just think about it. Kids are tearing into the paper. Gifts and toys are all over the place. Dogs are chewing on bones or kids' toys. And after about 15 minutes, the adults are back to talking politics on the wall. 15 minutes. And let's just think about all of the weeks or the months that you spent saving up money to buy that gift or to buy that outfit, to buy that purse. Weeks and months spent saving and shopping and hours spent wrapping. Just think about it. You've already done it. This is the end. Like, you are now there. If you aren't prepared at this point, it's a little late, but you still have tomorrow. But that's it. I mean, 15 minutes. All of the hours that you spent cooking, cleaning, as food crumbs are all over the floor, just like that, it's over. Just like that. Or then maybe that night, or maybe a few days later, you'll find yourself right here, and you know you got totes and boxes open, and it's one after another as you begin taking the beads or the ribbons or the ornaments and the lights and the decorations, and you fill the totes and you fill the boxes. Within a matter of 2 to 3 hours, everything is placed back in the attic or it's placed back in the shed, and just like that, it's over. I mean, just like that, it's over. And I think that if we're not careful, a lot of us, that will be our Christmas, won't it? That'll be our Christmas. You picture the lights, you picture the trees, you picture the friends, you picture the family, and just like that, it's over. You have the tree down, and you have an empty space now in the room, or you have the piece of furniture back to where it went. And if you're not careful, you're right back onto this train of pink hearts and leprechauns. Pink hearts and leprechauns, here we go. And just like that, it's December 26th, and you're sitting there wondering where Christmas has gone. Just like that. And that is why for weeks now we have been trying to prepare you through our social media, through our music, through our preaching, through our teaching, to set your heart and set your mind on the meaning of Christmas. Because let's just face it, if we set our hearts and we set our minds on the things that are under the tree or the people coming to our homes, we are just setting ourselves up for disappointment. Can I tell you that? No matter how great your family are, no matter how great the gifts were and how bad you wanted that particular thing, you are just setting yourselves up for disappointment, because all of those things are just temporal, trying to please an eternal being. And let's just be honest. After a few wears of the new shoes, what's going to happen? You're going to scuff them up. That shirt isn't going to look nearly as good on you after you wash it, dry it, and continue eating all of the stuffing and dessert that your little heart desires. Let's just be real. I mean, it's not. The dryer is going to shrink it. It wasn't the amount of cookies or desserts that you ate. It was the stinking dryer, all right? And then your new iPhone, your new iPad, your new tablet or laptop is going to need to be charged after the batteries die. Your new purse that you wanted so bad is soon going to become a storage container. These things just happen. The new car is going to need gas, believe it or not. And if we're not careful, we will set our hearts and our minds on those things and ultimately disappoint ourselves because a day or two or a week after Christmas, the anticipation and the joy and the angst in which we felt as we were preparing ourselves to open those gifts and exchange those gifts has now gone. It's over. And I just want to tell you that I came here this morning to encourage you with the fact of this reality, that there is a promise this Christmas. And this morning, I just want to talk for a few minutes about the promise of Christmas. And there is a promise. So if you have your Bible, if you have your smartphone, or if you have your eyes still open, let's open up our phone, our Bible, or look up to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and I want to encourage you with this, that the promise of Christmas actually dates all the way back to the days of Abram, also known as Abraham, Father Abraham, the one that had many sons. And that is where the promise of Christmas actually dates back to. So if you have your Bible, it's the first book, Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start right there in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to please let someone know so we can gift you with a Bible. You need to have a Bible. You need to be in the Bible. You need to live and read and use the Bible every day if you can. But right there in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, this is what we see. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you of a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing.'" Right here we see a command from God to Abram, who was also known as Abraham. Later on, his name is changed to Abraham. He tells him, here is the command. You go. And the promise is that I will show you where to go. This is a little side note. It's not in my message, but it's a little side note that if you will go and obey the Lord through the journey of obedience, you will see God's revelation, you will see his promise, you will see his presence, and you will see his provision every single time you travel down the journey or the path of obedience. When we live in disobedience, we don't see those things. But God tells him, go. He says, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. And he says this, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, look at this next part. This next part is the promise of Christmas that I want to tell you today. In you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And connecting that, Paul said something in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. This is what he said. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Look around you. A bunch of Gentiles. None of you are Jewish. You're all a bunch of Gentiles. And he said that the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, what? In you shall all the nations be blessed. In you. So then, those who are of, what word is that? Faith, are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. We see the promise to Abram in Genesis 12. Paul mentions it in Galatians chapter 3. Whenever you continue reading through the Genesis story, you see that the promise was reaffirmed to Abraham's son Isaac, the promised son. It was reaffirmed to Isaac's son Jacob. And here is the beautiful connection between Genesis chapter 12, because I know you came here wanting to hear about this baby boy wrapped in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. And this is the beautiful picture and the beautiful connection, because through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we now read the story in Matthew and Mark and Luke and in John of this one to come who was born wrapped in swaddling cloths, born of a virgin, placed in a manger in the city known as Bethlehem. And the blessing to all of the families of the earth was to be named Jesus, and he was to come to save his people from their sins. And the beauty is this, and I know maybe you don't feel it right now, but the beauty and the reality is this, that you are blessed. Can I tell you that? You're blessed. If you are a genuine Christ follower here today, you are blessed. If you came here today and you aren't a true, genuine Christ follower, you never surrendered your heart and your life to Him, let me just remind you with this, that there is a blessing with your name on it in the form and the work and the man of Jesus Christ. Maybe holidays are difficult for you because you have a unhealthy relationship with friends and family, and you're saying, yeah, I know this should be a very joyful time. I know this is supposed to be a beautiful time. I know we're supposed to have lots of friends and lots of food and lots of family and lots of gifts. And maybe you won't open a single gift, but let me just remind you that you are blessed. You are blessed. Because He said that those who are of faith, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. You are blessed along with Abraham. So here we are in the promise of Christmas, and I want to remind you of John 3:16. Everybody know John 3:16? It's probably the most popular Bible verse of all of the scriptures. The promise of Christmas comes right out of the mouth of Jesus when He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." This is right out of the mouth of Jesus. He said, God so loved the world. And whenever you read the word "the world," guess who's in the world? You, me, and all of the families of the earth. So the promise is that you and I should be blessed. You and I have a promise that there's now a bridge, because God so loved the world. God so loved all of the families of the earth. God so loved all of the people. Let's just list the people. God loved the lazy people. God loved the working people. God loved the black people. God loved the white people. God loved the brown people. God loved the rich people. God loved the poor people. God loved the broken people. God loved the healthy people. God loved the sick people. God loved the people that had it all together. God loved the people whose life was spinning out of control. God so loved the world and all of the people. And we could go on and on and on about the people groups of the world that we see. Those who have nothing to hide. Those who are living in depression. Those who have hurt people. Those who are hurt. Those who are sick. Those who are battling. Those who on and on and on we could go. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So whoever believes, whoever puts their faith and their trust in Him, they should never die but have eternal life. The promise of Christmas is that there is now a bridge between human, broken, sinful people like you and me to a holy, righteous God. And that way, the bridge is Jesus Christ. And He actually said in John 14:6, that I am the way. This Christmas, Jesus Christ is the way. Tomorrow, Jesus is the way. Next year, Jesus is the way. And if we're not careful, we'll set our hearts and our minds to the gifts, the trees, the things that are just here for a little bit. And with Jesus being the way, we are actually able to live in and dwell in the very promises of the Lord. We are able to live in the word of the Lord. And one of the beautiful promises that Jesus gave us was in John chapter 10, verse 10, when He said, "I came to give life and life abundantly." What He didn't say was, "I came to give you health and wealth for the rest of your life. I came to give you life and life abundantly." And in that life, we have a promise and a pleasure to live in the matter of an everlasting joy, an unshakable peace, and an eternal life. And this is what I want to encourage you with today. Because it's Christmas. It's hot in here. All right, y'all are hot. Can I just say that? Y'all are hot. It wasn't this hot till y'all came. But it's hot in here. It's a lot of people in here. You have a lot of traveling. You have a lot of cooking. You have a lot of cleaning. You have a lot of picking up. But can I just encourage you on Tuesday morning when you wake up to spend time in God's Word and His presence before you ever open a gift? Because we're going to do it. We're going to wake up. The kids are going to be excited. They're going to see the gifts, and they're going to see their stockings, and they're going to run and open. We're going to open gifts. We're going to sing Christmas carols. We're going to watch Buddy the Elf and all of those American things. We're going to do it. And I'm going to have my Santa Claus hat on, and I'm going to be running around and happy and cheerful, maybe. And get to see a lot of family that day, which is always good to look forward to. And there we are. But before we ever get to that point, can I just challenge you with something? I'm going to challenge my wife with it. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to challenge my girls to spend time in the very presence and the word of the Lord. Because this Christmas isn't about what's under there. I said it maybe last week or 2 weeks ago. This Christmas isn't about the gifts under the tree or the lights on it. This Christmas is the one who was nailed to it. And his name was Jesus. That's what I'm going to dwell in when I wake up Tuesday morning. I'm going to read the story of the one that came for you, the one that came for me. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank God for the things in which he's done, the blessings in which I've received. And here's one of those beautiful songs that I want to, what I'm going to do on Tuesday morning. I'm going to thank God for his amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Just think about it. How horrible is the sound of all of your past mistakes, all of your regrets, all of your things that you've done, the things you shouldn't have done. Just think about how horrible that sounds in your ear. How you'll never measure up. How they turn their back on you, how you can never live up to them. It's a horrible sound playing in your ear. But if we can listen to God's amazing grace, if we can set our hearts on God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound is it to think that you and I can never live up. We can never live up to him. So God, loving the world that he gave his only son, came down to us and made a way. That's the thing I'm going to set in my heart on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. The rest of my life, I want to dwell in the very grace and the promises of God that he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, that he is for me, that he is with me. That's what we cling to. That's what we hold true to. Not just this day, not just tomorrow, but every day of our lives. That God's amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Saved a wretch like you. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I want you to do that Tuesday morning. To sit in the presence of God in prayer and praise in his word, thanking him for what he has done, for the way he has made, for the chains he has broken, for the addictions he has broken, for the heart that he has repaired, for the relationships he has reconciled, thanking him because all of those things are all bundled into one little package. And 2,000 years ago, that little package, that baby boy was wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger in the city of Bethlehem, and his name was Jesus. He was the Christ, the Messiah. And I want to end today just a little bit differently. We're going to take communion as a church today. And then we're going to have a moment of song and worship, intimate prayer. But before we get there, I just want to give you a challenge on Christmas, if that's all right. If you are a true, genuine follower of Jesus Christ, I want to challenge you with this, that you have been given a blessing, and you are blessed. And the challenge is to take the blessing which you've been given to other people, to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to those who have done you wrong, to those that completely disagree with you, to those who have different worldviews, to take the blessing, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you and I, human beings who are broken, sinful, dirty-handed, horrible past, dirty mind, dirty hearts, horrible relationships, that we can be reconciled, redeemed, and restored. The good news of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem, to live up to become a preacher and teacher for 3 years, and at the age of 33, to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, who wasn't just buried in the grave, but just borrowed it for 3 days to rise again. and now sits on a throne waiting for the time and the word to come back for you and me. My challenge for you this Christmas is to not just dwell in that presence, but to take it to other people. There are other people who are hungry for and dying for what you have. And it's only by the grace and the power of God that some people will ever be changed. It's only by the power and the grace of God through Jesus Christ that some relationships will ever be restored, hearts will ever be repaired. Only through Him. It's nothing you can do. And I pray that as you lean into that challenge, that calling, that commission, I pray that the Spirit of God equips you and empowers you for the work that He has before you. And if you're here today and you're not a true, genuine follower of Jesus and you came because it's Christmas and they drug you here, well, I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did. And I want to ask you to consider humbling yourself in a way to allow the Spirit of God to continue to work in your heart. And I want to challenge you to take this opportunity today to leave here differently than you came, to respond to the conviction, to the pulling that the Spirit of God has been working. Maybe today, maybe all week, maybe all year, you've never truly come to a point in time where you've humbled yourself enough to surrender all to Him, and you've just continued to hold on to yourself, live for you, hold on to pride. But I want to challenge you at this moment, in this very session, or this very worship, this place, before you leave, to take an opportunity to confess your sins to our God who is faithful and just to forgive. To humble yourself under the mighty hand of our God. And as we take communion, we'll be doing it as a church. And after we take communion, as we worship, I just want to ask you to spend that time in intimate prayer, intimate worship. I would invite you to come up here, but you may not get out of your row. I would ask you to get a friend, grab a family member. There are people in this church who would love to pray with you, love to pray for you. And I would tell you to surround yourself with them and just thank God for what He's done. Thank God for what He's going to continue to do in your life and through your life. But at this moment, I want to ask if we could have some people come up and grab communion trays. And it's at this moment, if you're a teenager, a little one, I just ask if you could remain as quiet as possible during this time.